I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. KRISANNEHALL.com. I want you to get out your pen and paper. I want to get you. Want you to get ready for a very, very important lesson today. We're going to connect some dots, and we're going to give some solutions. And we're going to talk about some very, very important things today. Some things that I'm afraid are not being talked about in the way that they need to be talked about. And some solutions that we have to some very, very serious problems. Our framers were very clear in what they did and why they did what they did. And that they created a constitutional republic. Remember, Thomas Jefferson tells us all the way in the beginning from the Declaration of Independence that governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. And when any form of government operates contrary to those means, it is the right of the people. He will see even later, he will say even later down the line that it's the duty of the people to alter or abolish those governments. And so what we need to understand is that our consent is absolutely essential for the operation of this government. Our consent is essential for the operation of any government in the United States, within our independent and sovereign states, within our counties and our cities. The Constitution requires that every state be a republic. And in a republic, laws are created by representatives through equal representation of the people, which means that the consent of the people drive the government. As a matter of fact, we need to understand from the philosophers that our framers relied upon, Montesquieu, Locke, and even Hobbes in his fatalistic perspectives, that rights belong to people. That all the rights in the universe are ours. They are gifted to us by God. And because they are gifted to us individually by God, rights are held individually. Samuel Adams would talk about this in his dissertation, The Rights of Men, in 1772. And many of you know of Frederick Bastiat's book called The Law, in which he describes, basically on the same lines of Samuel Adams in his The Rights of Men, that government doesn't exist outside the individual rights of men. There is no power in government to exist outside the individual rights of people. So what we need to understand here from the very beginning is that governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Where does our consent originate? Our consent originates from the understanding that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Republics are built upon the principle that all men are created equal, and therefore all men need equal representation. Not a democracy in the modern perspective of mob rule, where the majority has a greater weight over law and opinion in the country, but on a republic where all men have equal representation. Equal representation originating from the rights that come from our Creator. Rights that come from our Creator to the individual. We do not need government to have the right to life. We do not need government to have the right to liberty. We don't need government to have the right to property. And we don't need government to have the right to defend our rights. We were doing these things long before the institution of government. And what Bastiat so clearly points out is that governments being instituted by men operate only based on the principle that men individually hold these rights first. So the only way we can create government is understanding that men have individual rights and they come together to protect their individual rights as a group. That's the whole purpose of government. We come together to protect individual rights so that we can work together as a group, so that we have greater protection of our individual rights in a group effort. You see, if you are individually living on your own, living in your individual rights, you may be able to defend yourself from one or two assailants, maybe three or four assailants upon your life, your liberty, or your property. But what happens when the assailants join together and want to come and take your life, your liberty, or your property? You're going to hope that you have a number of friends who will come and help you. Now, logically speaking, those numbers of friends are going to want to help you, especially if they live within your proximity. Because if these groups of people who want to come and take your life, your liberty, and your property are able to successfully take your life, your liberty, and your property, then they amass greater power and they will come after your neighbors. So neighbors seeing the value in joining together to protect life, liberty, and property have created government. Now, the interesting thing is that more often than not, those bands of organized persons who came to steal life, liberty, and property were not just organized criminals. They were governments. I'll remind you of the history that we learn when we learn the history of the American Constitution based on British history of their liberty charters, that the Anglo-Saxons were living in small communities without a central government. They had come together to create small communities, banding together the power of their individual rights to protect each other. Why? Not be from their bands of hordes of robbers, perhaps, yes, but because they were being attacked by foreign kingdoms. Foreign kingdoms who wanted to bring them into their fold against their will. Foreign governments wanting to come in and take control of their life, their liberties, and their properties. And so they band together in small communities, but the small communities were insufficient to protect them from large government invasion. So they banded together to create their own kingdom. A kingdom, a unique kingdom, what we would call today a limited monarchy, because the monarchy they created in the Anglo-Saxon world was a monarchy that was limited by the people. The agreement, the Ethelred Agreement of 1014, told Ethelred, "We will allow you to be our king on one condition. Your only job is to negotiate and protect us in matters of foreign affairs. You will leave us alone to govern ourselves in small communities," recognizing that the rights belong to the individual, that individuals come together to collectively protect their rights, and that that collection of individuals have no rights superior to those of the individual unless the individual is violating the rights of someone else. And so these are very, very important basic principles that we must understand. We must understand that individual rights outweigh the collective when the collective wants to take the individual's rights without proper due process and recognition of those individual rights. That's why government has a limited power over the individual. That's why governments must be instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the individuals. And that whenever any government operates contrary to that consent and contrary to the principles of individual liberty, which create the power of government, I don't feel like I'm making this clear enough. Government has no power without the individual's consent. Because government was not created by the Creator in individual power. Government was created by men based on the individual rights and the power that emanates from those individual rights. Natural law says that the creation is always inferior to the Creator. You cannot create something more powerful than yourself because you have no power beyond what you have. And so, when government exerts power greater than the individual possesses on its own, Bastiat does this so much better than I do. You must get a copy of the law. And as a matter of fact, they have a children's version of the copy of the of Bastiat's The Law to help kids understand these principles, which they should be learning in school, but they're not. We need to understand that when the government exists in a power greater than has been delegated to it, it operates contrary to natural law. It operates contrary to the natural order of the universe, and it is therefore operating with unlawful, stolen power that has no legal force. And so what we need to understand here is that the bottom line to all of this is the consent of the people. That's why our states are republics. That's why our federal government is operated via a constitutional republic, because everything hinges upon the consent of the governed. And when we give up that consent, we are no longer a republic. We are subjects in a kingdom. And the consent is the key to controlling government.
Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Now, in understanding consent, we must understand how it's supposed to work. And we can understand this by a principle that was created to operate the federal government. Our framers guided us through this principle. We'll get down to the individual level in a minute, but I want to show you from the big picture what our framers did, because they explained this very, very well. Knowing and understanding this principle will give us the understanding of the power that we hold to control the federal government. And so the history that built our Constitution, we're not going to go over that today, but you can find that on many of my writings, many of my podcasts. Go to chrisannhall.com, order my DVD set, which gives you the history of that Constitution. You can get the children's books, the ones for high school, middle school students, Essential Stories for Junior Patriots, the one for non-readers, Bedtime Stories for Budding Patriots. These will teach you the history that drove our framers to create the Constitutional Republic, and the history that compelled our framers to declare independence and form our Constitutional Republic proves that they anticipated the possibility of an out-of-control federal government, even one that they created in a limited and defined manner. Now, They gave us checks and balances. And the principle of this check and balance is something that we must understand if we are going to do anything about the wickedness that we are seeing in government today. The most powerful check and balance that our framers put into our hands, they themselves said it was the most powerful, was placed in Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution. But without proper understanding of how this section was designed to work, it is a wolf with no teeth. You see, our central government has taken control over us because we have lost the proper understanding of our control. Here is how Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution is supposed to work. It reads, quote, "All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills." Now, that's a very simple, simple clause that has been so distorted out of proportion because we, the people, who are in power, in charge of the government, in power over our rights, in power over our consent, do not know what that means, and we do not understand when government changes that. So here's how this works. This basically says, very simply, the House must originate all spending and defunding. All bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives. The House must originate all spending and defunding. I'll show you how the defunding works in a bit. The Senate, quote, may, end quote, propose amendments. But their involvement is not a requirement. So what we need to understand is the House has the sole authority to fund and the sole authority to defund. And although the Senate may not like it, they technically have no constitutional power to say in the matter indefinitely one way or the other. And James Madison explains to us why they did this, exactly why. He says in Federalist 58, quote, "The House of Representatives cannot only refuse, but they alone can propose the supplies requisite for the support of government. They, in a word, hold the purse, that powerful instrument by which we behold in the history of the British Constitution an infant and humble representation of the people, gradually enlarging the sphere of its activity and importance, and finally reducing, as far as it seems to have wished, all the overgrown prerogatives of the other branches of government. This power over the purse may, in fact, be regarded as the most complete and effectual weapon with which any constitution can arm the immediate representatives of the people for obtaining a redress of every grievance and for carrying into effect every just and salutary measure." That is very clear. The House of Representatives cannot only refuse, but they alone can propose the supplies requisite for the support of government. Why? Because the power of the purse is the most powerful tool we have in our consent mechanism.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So let's just summarize here something very important. We are operating with a government who only has power as long as we consent. Because we are the holders of the individual rights by the nature of our creation. Government does not hold rights. They were not created by the Creator, and so they do not have inalienable rights. The only The only thing the government possesses is power. That power emanates from our individual rights, and it only exists as long as we allow it to exist through our mutual and individual consent. And James Madison tells us in Federalist Papers 58 that the power of the purse is the most powerful tool, not just for us, but throughout history. Throughout history, it has been regarded as the most complete and effectual weapon which any constitution can arm the immediate representatives of the people for obtaining a redress of every grievance and for carrying into effect every just and salutary measure. The crux of our consent in government lies within the funding and defunding of government. To further clarify this intent, we look at a discussion between Alexander White and James Madison. At this time, they are both members of the U.S. House of Representatives representing the state of Virginia. These are in a discussion of the House of Representatives post-ratification of the Constitution. Mr. White says, and I quote, "The Constitution, having authorized the House of Representatives alone to originate money bills, places an important trust in our hands, which, as their protectors, we ought not to part with. I do not mean to imply that the Senate are less to be trusted than this House, but the Constitution, no doubt for wise purposes, has given the immediate representatives of the people a control over the whole government in this particular, which, for their interest, they ought not to let out of their hands." End quote. Madison responds immediately in the affirmative by saying, quote, "The Constitution places the power in the House of originating money bills. This principle, the principal reason why the Constitution had made this distinction was because they were chosen by the people and supposed to be the best acquainted with their interests and ability." End quote. White is saying, look, obviously in the wisdom of the framers, they placed this powerful tool in the hands of the House alone on purpose, and it's not something that we should let go of. And Madison says, oh yes, you're right, White. We absolutely did do that, and we absolutely did do it on purpose. And the reason we did it was because it was the House was directly chosen by the people, and the House was supposed to be best acquainted with their interests and that power of the purse. This purse is a power placed in the hands of the House on purpose and for a purpose. It is, in itself, an important check on government power, an essential check on government power. Reins in the hands of the people to control the spending and growth of government. And every time the House fails to maintain this check, every time the House allows the Senate to block a budget or a spending funding bill or defunding bill, every time the House passes a continuing resolution instead of a budget, that vital check fails and the House relinquishes what our framers thought to be one of the most powerful and important tools held in the trust of government for the people. That's how it's supposed to work. And what we are witnessing today is the result of years of the erosion and surrendering of strict constitutional process by using House rules and resolutions and threats of shutdown rather than engaging in legitimate budget process. Congress has sidestepped the Constitution, and one cannot claim to be in a debate about the budget if there is no budget. A continuing resolution is not a budget. That is what we need to understand. The depth of ignorance as to what the constitutional mechanisms are, and more importantly, why we have them, has allowed our government to be hijacked by those who would destroy this nation by driving us over the cliff of debt to support a welfare state, to support the mechanisms of operation of government that ought not exist constitutionally, that have no power to exist constitutionally. And now we're seeing that mechanism drive a force to engage in human body part trafficking and the murder of thousands and thousands of children a day. The ignorant populace, driven by main media misinformation and propaganda, cheers on this runaway train and labels those who desperately seek to return our nation to fiscal sanity and moral rectitude are labeled as extreme, reckless, bigots, hate mongers. I will tell you what is reckless. I will tell you what is hateful. I will tell you what is extreme. Trying to drive this freight train completely blind and ignoring the operator's manual while our children are tied to the tracks. This train is out of control. Bandits are at the levers. And the builders are doubtless scratching their heads, wondering why we are bent on our own destruction. We have Democrats and Republicans together trying to convince the consent of the people that the ride on this train is the way that they need to go. Isn't it about time we understand the principles of consent and the power of the purse? How does this all tie together to what we're seeing today? I want to tell you something very, very important. Something that's going to be perceived as incredibly radical. I will be called by many as advocating for treason. I will be advocating what many will call as illegal operation. I am going to show you something very important, something that is true based on history, something that is true based on the framers of our country and their understanding and the absolute fundamental building blocks of who we are as constitutional republics, the consent of the governed and the power of the purse. I want to tell you something, and I want you to brace yourself for just how radical this is going to seem. But it is not radical. It is liberty. It is defending our rights. And I want you to remember that defending your rights is only radical to two classes of people, tyrants and slaves. And so when you feel uncomfortable with what I'm about to tell you, when you allow someone to brainwash you into believing what I am telling you is completely wrong, I have already established the legal framework, the constitutional framework, the fundamental framework, the principle framework, the natural law and order framework that establishes everything that I'm about to tell you. It cannot be disputed. I will debate anyone right now, tomorrow, and twice next Sunday on this issue if they want to. This is sound, historical, legal, constitutional, and foundational principle. And when somebody tries to tell you that what I'm telling you is wrong, that I'm just a radical extremist, remember, this is only extreme to tyrants and slaves. We need to start classifying who we want to be. Thomas Jefferson, in our independence movement, wrote a letter to Lord North in response to Lord North calling what our framers was doing treason, contrary to law and contrary to government. I want you to know that what I am telling you is the same thing that our framers told their government. And they were called traitors. They were charged with treason. They were told they were acting unlawful. And they were told they were acting against the common good of their kingdom. These are the very things that you will hear from those who want us to be a kingdom. I want you to listen to what Jefferson says. Quote, that this privilege of giving or of withholding our monies is an important barrier against the undue exertion of prerogative, which, if left altogether without control, may be exercised to our great oppression. And all history shows how efficacious is its intercession for a redress of grievances and a reestablishment of our rights, and how improvident would be the surrender of so powerful a mediator. Withholding payment of our taxes is a constitutional remedy to out-of-control government. They knew how important the power of the purse was, how powerful a tool that would be, and they vested that in the hands of the House alone. But remember, the House has no power if the individual does not possess it first. And the power to withhold funding to the government is the most powerful tool that we have to control the consent that we give to government. The withdrawal of our monies to government is the withdrawal, the active withdrawal of our consent to a government, a powerful tool that should never be surrendered, Jefferson said. And we must pick up that mantle once again. The weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord of above.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh my goodness. Chris Ann is telling people they have to stop paying their taxes. What a radical, extreme, treasonous thing. Chris Ann doesn't want to support her fair share. She wants people to live in poverty. She wants people to go without health care. She wants people to go without education. You know what? I want government to operate properly, and I want government to stop funding things that they ought not fund in. I want to point out to you something very, very important. We have seen with our own eyes the murder of babies in our country, funded by our government. Videos of how our tax dollars are being spent. Congress went to vote yesterday to defund this murder and human trafficking of body parts. Don't tell me they're not babies when on the videos they're laughing about their sexual identity. According to our culture today, the moment you have a sexual identity, you have an individual right to determine what your own sexual identity is, which means they know that child is a boy, which means that child has an individual right to choose now his own lifestyle by their own standards. And apparently, the sound of crunching skulls, vacuuming brains, and broken bones, the sight of body parts being dissected and disseminated to the highest bidder is not enough for our Senate to come together in a unified horror to defund this practice. Your tax dollars are being paid. We have Michelle Obama standing up in front of people holding hashtags about human trafficking, and yet they will defend the very human trafficking here that exists by your taxpayer dollars in the United States. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. Mitch McConnell says, Well, it didn't pass, so now we're going to discuss how to fund the government after the recess. They're going on freaking vacation while the money is still being sent. Do you understand? Right now, Planned Parenthood is still doing what those videos said they were doing, still making money off the trafficking of human body parts, American human body parts, and our politicians went on freaking vacation. I want to show you something very, very important. This power of the purse. Do you know that the total population of America over the age of 18 is 245.3 million people? 245.3 million people 18 or over eligible to vote. And of that 245.3 million people, 70% of them are Christian. That means in the United States, over the age of 18, 171.6 million people in America are Christian. Hey, Christians, don't you think we could unify together to, can we at least come to the conclusion that what Planned Parenthood is doing here is murder? It is absolutely offensive. The crunching of bones and skulls and the vacuuming of brains and baby parts is something that ought not be allowed in a civilized government. Can 171 million people collectively decide, based on their Christian principle, that the murder of these infants paid by our tax dollars is wrong? If that's the case, then you have a duty to withhold your taxes from a government that is using that money in the barbarous murder of children. And 171 million people refusing to pay their taxes will shut down this government in less than a year. So how do you do that? You go to your employer tomorrow and you claim 99 dependents and you don't pay a dime until April 15th next year because your Congress is actively supporting human trafficking by going on vacation. If this doesn't hold them over from vacation, then nothing else will. And to stand and do nothing in the face of evil is evil itself. Your government is wicked, it is evil, and it is time for us to withdraw our consent. I have laid out the facts. They are indisputable. It is up to you now to do something about it. God bless. See you tomorrow.